Hi everyone, it's Josh here. I just wanted to let you know that Lovecraft Esque, the storytelling card game of creeping cosmic horror, is heading for a second edition crowdfunding on Backerkit in October. It's a much improved version of an already great game. If you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you will have heard us playing it, and if you haven't, I recommend you go and check those episodes out. And if you would like to get in on the new edition, there is a link in the show notes, which you can use to sign up for notifications when the campaign launches. Welcome to Black Armada Tales, an actual play podcast. My name is Josh Fox. My pronouns are he and him, and with me, I have, at the top of the alphabet,
Becky Anderson. I will be playing Lieutenant Emily Loris, also known as Hellcat. That's the Ares playbook, and our pronouns are she and her.
Ed Tomlinson, playing Dr. Tobias Roy, world's greatest scientist, universe's greatest scientist, potentially, probably almost certainly, in fact. The Scorpio playbook, pronouns are he and him, and so are mine.
Nick Bates. I'm playing Commander Sam Buckley, Captain of the Hecate, the Taurus playbook. We are both using he, him pronouns.
Sue Elliott, pronouns she and her. I'll be playing Sonia Vega, the Gemini playbook, and her pronouns are also she and her.
And we are going to be playing Last Fleet, written by yours truly. Let's get on with it. So I think I might wind time forward a little bit. So in order to do that, I would like to know broadly what you're getting up to. And this could include like some sort of investigative action, Vega. But I think I'm sort of proposing that perhaps some of this is slightly montaged a bit. And then Dr. Roy, presumably you're basically spending your time making your Korax detector, or have you got other fish to fry as well?
I don't think I want to see Vega until the Korax detector is resolved. The only person, and I probably want to avoid Loris. I don't think I'm aware of this how much do I know about the explosion? That's what I'm trying to remember. So the bomb went off when I was at the Agamemnon, wasn't it? So I know he's injured from an explosion.
You must know by now.
Yeah. So would Dr. Roy think he's got anything to do with it at all? I don't know.
Seems unlikely he would make the leap to me, but
I was miles away.
I was dead at the time.
But he might know someone who does know.
So depending on how his research got, I think he's very focused on the research over helping with the Sam thing. But I think he wants to make contact with Sam to make sure he's all right, because he's very concerned about, you know, senior the issues with senior leadership in the fleet, and he wants to make sure that Sam is brought up to speed somewhat. I'm not sure how I'm going to say that, but that's roughly his plan. But if he's called in to help, he will help.
Okay, Vega.
So I think Vega's been probably trying to get some kind of inroad into Catan's ongoing investigation to try and get what fragments of information she can, like even like, you know, the sort of forensic side of things. You know, they must have done, you know, that kind of investigation into the actual bomb site. I feel like that needs some kind of pulling strings move or something, or seek out or something like that.
Yes, yeah, so seek out is for to finding well hidden information, and pulling strings would be more about getting access to something that you wouldn't normally have access to.
Yeah, so it feels more like pulling strings.
Okay, well, why don't you? So you're trying to basically you're trying to inveigle yourself into the official investigation.
Yeah.
That sounds like a pull strings. Let me just actually look at the move.
Oh, it says so I can potentially gain temporary access to rare or restricted equipment, resources, skills, or information.
Yeah.
But I have to say who I'm going to for help and what I want them to do. So that suggests that I'm kind of working on members of the investigation team or people who can kind of leak that information.
Okay. Becky, what if anything is Loris up to if there is a time skip?
See, I don't think Loris is in a great state at the moment. I don't think she's feeling super proactive, so she's probably spending her time alternately at Sam's bedside and then doing what Catan tells her to, I think, which is out of character for her and is not making her feel good about herself.
Yes, totally. Makes everybody wonder if she's been replaced.
Yeah. And probably at the moment she's working quite hard on trying to be the CAG because she doesn't really know what else to do. But I don't think she's someone who's naturally very good at being a CAG, so I think it takes her quite a lot of sustained effort and there's like a limit to how long she can keep that up.
Yeah, okay. All right. So I think after the events of the last session, a temporary bridge is set up, which I'm not totally sure how that would work, really, but I guess they probably find some bit of like an old, a relatively empty cargo area or something and wire it up with the sorts of communications equipment that you need. Although, having said that, the bridge itself, it was an anti-personnel attack, wasn't it? So, no, they probably reuse the existing bridge. That's what they'll do. They'll do whatever forensics need to be done on the bridge, and then they will conduct jury-rigged repairs as quickly as possible to make it usable. Catan seems preoccupied with finding out what the heck happened. He's devoting a lot of his time to that. And soon after the events of the last session, he institutes a kind of almost like a lockdown on the Hecate. So it becomes kind of, you know, don't go anywhere unless you have to be there. If you're not supposed to be somewhere specific, you should be in your quarters. And it gets quite, you know, there's a lot of patrols going on. And the patrols, he's got people doing the patrols who are not Marines. And this is probably enough Marines to do a reasonably decent job of patrolling. But he's very definitely not leaning on the Marines for this.
Is Enrique still brigged?
Enrique is still brigged at the moment, yeah. So Vega, I think if you are trying to get involved in investigation, let's roll that pull strings move now. How are you going? And are you going to approach Catan, or are you trying to sort of approach somebody below the level of Catan and hope that for something a bit less official?
Yeah, I think we'll keep this below the level of Catan. I don't think I've got a very good relationship with him currently. So
does anybody?
Exactly.
Seemingly not.
So if there is some kind of subordinate that is maybe familiar to me?
Yeah, sure. I think that there is. And I think I will say that the subordinate in question is Morgan Kinnard, who was a relatively junior officer in charge of sort of supplies and logistics administration stuff, but has obviously had to be promoted up a bit because of the lack of other senior staff. So that's who your contact is. Would you care to roll to see how effectively you can pull strings?
Sure thing. Oh, fuck's sake. I can use a pressure with pull strings, can't I?
Yes, you can.
Oh, God.
Is it bad?
So I've got a 6 so far.
God.
So I could take a pressure, but that is my last point of pressure.
As in breaking point?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, tough choice.
Oh, do I want to break breaking point right now?
Is it a 6 you got?
I'm on a six.
Sweet six.
I'm going to take the failure at the moment, I think.
Okay. So I think Kennard will kind of... I guess you've had some sort of arrangement. He's kind of all over the ship in his day job. So he's probably been quite useful to you in the past, just providing information about kind of what's going on. That's how you know him. And he's eminently open to incentives, various kinds being offered for helping with that. But he seems a little tightly wound. Like when you go to him, he almost seems a little jumpy, and he's like, no, there's no way, it's locked up so tight. I just don't think it's not safe. They're getting really, they're kind of jumping at shadows, and I don't want to be one of those shadows, so sorry, it's too hot for me. I wish I wasn't even involved with this.
That's it? You can't give me anything?
Look, if anything big comes up, I can try and let you know somehow, but if I'm seen regularly meeting you, I don't know who will draw what conclusions. I can't have that. Sorry.
Alright, well, okay. I get it. Thanks, I guess.
Awesome. So, how are you going to pursue the investigation in the absence of that direct link?
It's a very good question. I feel like maybe I need to find a way to gain access to the information myself.
Yes.
Heist.
There's a strange noise from the medical bay. It's like the moaning of a ghost.
Heist.
I mean, this information is locked down pretty good, isn't it?
Well, I mean, yeah, so the thing is, this is a ship with a relatively limited number of personnel for doing security, which might explain why Catan's drafting in non-marines for patrols. So it's not like you can't sneak around the ship. It's more challenging than it was, but it's not like you can't do it. The investigation's being kept to a small number of people. So if you want to get information about what the official investigation is doing, it's pretty hard. But, you know, there's probably papers and computer files one could go after. If you want to get access to, like, evidence that might or might not be part of the investigation, then you can do your own, you know, look up your own things. Anyone, you know, look for witnesses, forensic evidence, whatever you want to do, basically.
Yeah.
So I am not going to prevent you from moving around the ship. I think that would be boring. But obviously a potential consequence of failed roles is that somebody notices you're somewhere you shouldn't be, and then the trouble starts.
Sonya's going to take... She's going to take a little portable drive and go for a little walk in some more private, secure areas, I think, and try and copy some of the investigation files.
Right, so you're going to try and tap into the official investigation, but by a different route. Okay, cool. I think that is now a seek out role.
Okay.
Do you have the investigator move?
So Ed has suggested in the chat using contacts in the Nexus. You could do that. That would be a pull strings move, though.
It looks like you do have investigator, which interacts with seek out.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to roll seek out.
Ah, that's a good move, isn't it? So you get to choose your 7-9 result.
Yeah, roll plus sharp. Fuck's sake.
Oh no.
Come on.
Did you roll snake eyes?
No, I rolled a five again.
Oh, awesome.
So that, okay, brilliant.
That's five with modifiers.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I know what happens then.
Do your worst, Josh. Sonia's having a bad day. She shouldn't have worn her really noisy clown shoes. Just honking away down the corridor.
In a little tiny clown car, spraying tinsel everywhere.
Just pieing people from all directions.
Oh my god. So I think that's two failed rolls on the trot, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's double fail. It's pretty double bad fail. At this point, right?
It's bad. You will be in... Where would you be able to get access to these files? I guess probably, like, I don't think there's, like, the cloud as such, but there's probably a kind of Hecate-wide internet, or intranet, I guess.
Intranet,
So you late 90s style. The intranet.
Oh, wow.
And that means that you don't necessarily need to kind of sneak around a huge amount. The difficulty is getting past the secure passwords and what have you. So perhaps you've had to sneak into somebody's office to try and, you know, get the post-it on which the password is written, that kind of thing. And
is
I
it
think,
password 123?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, undoubtedly it is, but it'd take you ages to guess whether it's 123 or ABC, wouldn't it? So you've got to go
in there. It's the at sign for the A of password that's the tricky bit.
That's it, yeah.
Foolproof. Yeah, indeed. Yeah, makes it harder. So I think probably you're in Morgan Kinnard's office as the most obvious kind of weak link, not the most senior person. And you're like, you've checked the top of his desk already, and you're now looking like in the less obvious place, like under the desk, and somebody clears their throat at the door.
Well, Sonia immediately bangs her head on the desk. Surely.
Of course,
and
perfect.
Her shoes presumably make a honking noise as she does it.
She swears under her breath as well, because she knows she's been an absolute idiot and has been more reckless than she normally is. And then she just comes out from under the desk looking, this is her playbook, you know, just getting up from under the desk like she was, of course she was under the desk, where else is she going to be? Just straightens up her jacket and just looks at whoever's just cleared their throat.
Well, I've got bad news for you, it's Catan.
Yeah, of course it is.
And he says, well, 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 Miss Vega, fancy finding you here. What are you doing?
Morgan had something of mine. I was just trying to retrieve it.
Yeah, you certainly came a long, circuitous route round the ship to get that, didn't you? And I think you've been in a couple of other offices as well. I guess Morgan left it in an unknown office for you?
Well, they've had it a long time. I didn't know if they had lent it to someone else. How much are you buying this, Catan?
Give me one good reason why I shouldn't have you locked up right now, because that's what I'm thinking of doing.
Because I can be valuable to you. You've got an investigation going on, and I don't know why you've frozen me out of this, but I can be useful. I know people on the ship. I can ask the right questions. You need to let me be part of this.
Yeah. The thing is, what you're saying would be logical if you weren't one of our suspects. But you are.
Who isn't one of your suspects right now?
Come on. It's a bit more precise than that, our investigation. But we know that you were up on the bridge only a short while before that explosion went off. We know that you went up there. You don't usually go to the bridge. You were up there, you had a conversation with Buckley, and then you left. What were you doing up there?
You're kidding, right? During the emergency, during the red alert, when
exactly. Why were you, a civilian, up on the bridge during a red alert?
I wanted to know what the hell was going on, as is my right, I think.
Yeah. Well, that makes a lot of sense. But you know what else makes a lot of sense? That you used the cover of the confusion to plant that bomb.
What's even my motive here?
I don't know what your motive is, Miss Vega, but, you know, I'm not unaware of the intel that the Korax are capable of infiltrating the fleet. I don't know who it is I'm talking to right now. So far, you've not done anything to convince me that you're not one of them. I think a finger on your spare arm twitches a little bit.
And my ongoing cooperation with Captain Buckley, that counts for nothing, does it?
Well, from what I've heard, the last time Buckley saw you, he was yelling at you when you came onto the bridge, told you to get off the bridge. But from what I understand, you may have been there for a little while before he noticed.
That may be, but he wasn't the only one on the bridge. You can ask anyone on there.
Yeah? Well, most of them are dead. So unless you want to point a finger at somebody specific.
I'm not in the habit of making accusations I can't back up, Catan. If you don't want my help, and I think you're a fool not to want my help, because I'm the best at this, then lock me up. That's fine. That's your loss.
Yeah. Okay. That's exactly what I'm going to do. I let you run around for a bit too long, and everything that you've said and done only confirms my suspicions that you're up to something. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it was you that planted that device, but I can't let you carry on like this.
It's your mistake to make.
So you are now, you are thrown in the brig with your good friend Alagona. Or not really your good friend, is he? But you have met him. And I think there might be quite a few people, like the brig is quite busy.
But
you're weirdly not in there, Loris. What's going on there?
No, I don't think I've been trying hard enough to get into the brig.
That's where it's all happening.
Yeah, I've been doing too much in terms of trying to be a good cag, but I think I just need to start acting out again. It's not as much fun when Buckley's asleep to act out, though.
So that went badly.
Oh, well, depending on your perspective.
I think we haven't really seen from Roy this episode, right? And I know one option is that he comes and violently wakes up Sam, but there's a lot of other shit going on too.
Well, the detector conversation we need to establish the situation with the detector.
Yep. So you are researching, you're basically jury-rigging together, using the Korax samples that you've got, a Korax detector. And I think we established, I think you passed your role, but I get to choose an extra option from the 7-9 list anyway.
Yeah.
Because I think I deemed the project was extremely ambitious.
Yes. And so I made some suggestions as to which ones you might want to take in the hope that I would roll well on my own personal smooth.
Yeah. I can't remember what they were, though, so it obviously didn't work. I think I want to say that it is some combination of unstable or not working as well as you hoped. I think we want to write a custom move for this thing, basically. That's what I'm now thinking.
If you're up for it, yeah.
When you use your Korax detector on somebody, you've got a roll with sharp, and on a 10 plus you get a clear answer, and on a 7 to 9, something else. Like, I'm not sure what the 7 to 9 results should be. I can think of a few, like maybe you get a kind of magic eight ball. Who knows?
Ask me later.
I suppose that'd be quite rum for a hit to give you an answer like that, though, wouldn't it? Yeah, maybe it is ask me later, exactly. Maybe it's like...
inconclusive.
Then you'd just be able to do it again, wouldn't you?
Well, no, maybe I don't know how involved it is. Is it like a blood test thing or is it like a proximity thing?
Well, I think it's got to be a blood test thing. I don't see how you can create, like, a Korax presence detector. That doesn't make any sense to me. This is a biological thing, right?
I mean, have you watched the thing? They just put hot metal onto some blood.
Exactly.
Right, I'm way more advanced than that. And like, I mean, that did pretty well.
Yeah, it was pretty foolproof.
Right, but that's my point, is you have to take a biological sample from them and then you'll do something involving some Corax cells that you've already cultured. Mm-hmm. And, you know, yeah, exactly like the thing, it'll hiss and pop, or you know, it won't do that, it won't be that cool, but...
And then Sam's head will, like, climb along the roof.
It requires you to take some samples, it requires you to develop them a little bit in a laboratory and look at them under a microscope. You know, it's that kind of thing. So it's not the kind of thing that you can easily do en masse, because, like, you definitely could if you had, like, an NHS or something at your beck and call, but since it's just you, it would take time to take all of those tests and it would take time to process them all. So you could do it, but it would take time. And it's not the kind of thing that you can easily do sneakily. So that's two things about it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone got any suggestions for the 7-9 result? I was going to say it's a move, but now I'm thinking... can't think of a good 7-9 right now.
I think the problem is that are you a Corax or not is quite a binary question.
Yeah, it is.
So 7-9 feels a bit... I suppose what I would do is I would tend to say 7-9 is it's going to take more time to process the results, or you need another sample because some of the sample's been corrupted. But that if in some intervening period somebody rolls a 6, then that's you collapse that. And say, yeah, they're a Cylon. I mean, Corax.
Maybe a 7-9 would draw unwanted attention. Maybe I'm tapping into.
Are we really designing this on the fly, live for the podcast listeners?
It does seem that way. Yeah. Well, it's only because I failed to do it in between sessions. So.
So it's fine. I don't know. I don't think it's going to get used this session.
Okay, fine.
So you're welcome. But I don't really want. I'd rather it be sort of falling apart rather than. Give an answer which is like you want it to be reasonably reliable in the answer that it gives, otherwise it kind of doesn't really work.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
So there might be other repercussions. So yeah, as I say, I draw on to the tension, or it stops working or whatever, rather than it.
Just to put it on the table, that's probably a bad idea. I don't hate you're 80% sure as a 7-9, because you're pretty sure you're going to be right. 4 times out of 5.
Okay.
How does that work game-wise, though?
The fifth time, you... Well, this is about what Roy knows, not what the truth is.
I am going to write on my to-do list. Write Corax detector.
Move.
And that is now on my to-do list.
I think that might come up more than once, so I think that's not time wasted. That can be in your player's handbook.
Thanks for listening to Black Armada Tales. We've been playing Last Fleet by me, Josh Fox. You can find more information about Last Fleet and the rest of our stuff in the show notes. And don't forget, we've got Lovecraft Desk 2nd Edition coming to crowdfunding on BackerKit very soon, and there's a link to sign up for notifications about that also in the show notes. See you next time.
I've had Vegemite now.
How did that go?
We've all had Vegemite, I think.
So my opinion of Vegemite, and I say this as someone who's quite neutral about Marmite, like, I'd probably not choose to have it, but I don't hate it. Like, if someone put it on my toast, I'd be like, well, that was disappointing, but I'll eat it, whatever. I felt that it was not as nice as Marmite because it wasn't strong enough. Marmite is stronger and saltier. So it felt like a kind of a weak Marmite, but then it's got this kind of slightly weird plasticky flavour at the end, which I did not dig. Whereas Marmite's just like umami salt all the way through. It's got a very consistent flavour from the start to the finish. Whereas Vegemite had like this kind of slightly weaker salty umami flavour at first and kind of a plasticky finish, and I didn't dig that.
I mean, I think the amount of Vegemite that is on the thing is a crucial factor and may have been misjudged in this instance.
We didn't know how much to put on, so we just put on whatever.
We should have asked the Australian waitress when she
we should shouldn't we yeah that would have been a good idea.
I mean, the photo looked all right.
It tasted oddly of twiglets. I thought the Vegemite tasted more like Twiglets than Marmite, even though Twiglets, I believe, have Marmite on them.
I can't comment. That's very strange.
Stunned silence. Absolutely. Like, everyone's like...
I've never eaten a Twiglet.
I can't tell whether you're all like, oh my God, Josh, it's driven him mad. He's lost his mind completely. Or whether you're all just like, the man's a genius. He's right. Clearly Vegemite has somehow been put on the Twiglets.
No, I don't think you are right.
Okay, fine. So you think I've gone mad?
No, I don't think you've gone mad. I think that you were probably just very hungover.
I didn't want to say anything because one of my genius Vegemite Twiglet mastermind plans to take over the universe. So I just wanted to brush over it and hope that you didn't remember that.
You're going to call them Viglets, presumably. Or
Veglets. Veglets.
Veglets. Well, what's twigs don't match up with?
Maybe no, Twiglets are called Twiglets because they look like twigs.
Well, what's the Australian for twig? That's what you know. Twiggos.
Twiggos.
That's actually brilliant. I think that
there you go. Just created our first £1 million product.
Coming to Kickstarter.
I have a new colleague at work called Isabel, and she's from Australia, and she's absolutely lovely, but she wants us to call her Izzo.
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 I find it really hard not to call her Izzo in an Australian accent.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, do you have to do the Australian-y bit at the end?
I feel like if I call her just Izzo, it just doesn't feel right.
Izzo.
It feels really like wrong in my mouth, but then I don't want her to think I'm taking the piss by saying Izzo. It's just.
I don't know how you resolve that.
Hard beam. I don't know. There's no winning. I'm just no winning gonna. Situation. I'm just not gonna call her by her name. I'm just gonna say her, she.
Oi.
Mate.
Yeah, mate. That's how That's normally
on
what I go
subject
with.
Subject of international comparisons. I don't think I've mentioned this already. That I was having a chat with Thomas Manuel of the.
Yes, indeed.
He of the Indie Newsletter and Yes Indeed podcast, and I asked him, because I know that tea is popular in India, and Tom, he's Indian, what, you know, did he like tea, and how do they have their tea as a general matter of course. And he said he was like okay with tea, and that they would have like that chai is a thing, so they do have like a spiced chai type thing, but that's a special type of tea called like a masala mm-hmm. spiced tea or something mm-hmm. like that. And then
depends
the regular
on the region,
tea
I think.
Would be quite like sort of a builder's tea that you'd have over here, like tea with milk and sugar. And he would drink it standing at a street stall eating some sort of deep fried snack. And it just made me wonder, what's the tea culture, if any, in Australia?
Yeah, it's a coffee culture.
Oh.
Is it?
Yeah, especially in Melbourne. There's a big Italian immigrant community, and Australians, again, especially Melburnians, can get very snobby about coffee.
Sorry, when you said Melbonians, then what I heard was Melnibonians.
Yes, Melnibonians, that's right, I agree.
I don't know, maybe they get snobby about coffee too, I'm not.
I definitely think they've got a tea culture, those guys.
I think, yeah, that's probably fair, actually.
Fucking coffee, good God, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, I drink much less coffee now than I did there because I'm a little bit of a snob about coffee.
That's fair enough. Well, you are in London. Presumably one can get a good coffee somewhere in London.
Yeah, you just got to go looking for Australians usually.
Don't tell the Italians that.
Or Italians. They'll do the job just fine. Although Australians don't have the same rules about when in the day you drink coffee with milk. My understanding is Italians drink coffee with milk in the morning. Not in afternoon, I think. I think I've got that the right way. Whereas in Australia, it's just a fucking free for all.
I mean, I went to a coffee shop with some Italians when I was in Modena, and I wanted a tea, and so we stopped at this coffee shop, and they made me a tea. And the two Italians, they ordered coffee, and their coffee is like coffee. The word coffee in Italian just means espresso. It doesn't mean anything else. And they both ordered espressos, and they were just like. Gone. They just like drank it in it, the blink of an eye, and I was like, fucking hell. So, you know, is that what you do here? And they were like, yep, that's what you do. You stop for drinks quite a lot, and what you do is you get a tiny coffee and you just down it. Done. Mind blown. Oh, this sounds horrible to me.
I feel like we should talk about the fact that we met some fans at the wedding.
Oh, yeah.
And say, like, hello.
Shout out to the fans.
Shout out to Gil.
Gil? You were amazing at the wedding, Gil. We really enjoyed meeting you.
Very exciting.
You were very cool, and I loved your suit.
And if anybody else would like to come up to us at weddings, we'd love to meet you. Just turn up at random weddings. We'll probably be there.
Or invite us to loads of weddings. We do weddings.
Yeah, that's right. Invite us to your wedding.
We talk about role playing at weddings.
We'll probably use up almost all your tab, but not quite.
I think we found all the secret role players at your wedding now.
Yeah.
I think we hunted them down in the end.
There were a lot of role players.
There were a lot of role players. Many, many groups colliding. Plus some new ones. Hi, Gil.
Yeah.
Is Gil new? Maybe you did say something about that.
I think he played a bit a long, long time ago and then didn't for a long, long time.
Yeah. We're changing the world. I've never been to a wedding where everyone talks about roleplay to me. I don't know what to have to take this. This is such an unusual circumstance.
You're welcome.
It kind of did make me think it was nice to know that a person listened to the podcast and who they were. You know what I mean? Like, there's only a small number of people who I know listen because they say so on like Twitter or whatever. Most people, I know there are people.
There was a second person that I heard from a distance said that they listened to the podcast as well.
Well, somebody, one of your friends said that they had some of our love corn, which is nice. Well, I don't think that qualifies as listening to the podcast.
Your mum told me she'd listen to a couple of episodes.
But just a couple? Did she say just a couple?
Yeah, she said, so we had this interaction where I was saying, oh, you know, Nick's so brilliant. He's an amazing guy. You must be very proud. He's your son. I think she thought I was drunk, which is hilarious because I probably was the only person at the wedding who wasn't tipsy because I don't drink. And she said, oh, just as I was kind of like leaving with my massive plate of deep fried things. From the evening buffet. She said, oh, and what's your name? And I said, Becky, thinking she was just being polite. And she went, oh, Becky? And I said, yes. She said, oh, from the podcast. And I said, yes.
This is what fame feels like, I guess.
And she said, oh, I've listened to a couple of episodes. And then I got very embarrassed and suttered out something like, I swear quite a lot in those in those episodes, you know.
Yeah, there was when somehow this story got back to me, and I had no idea that my mother had ever listened to an episode of this thing. And when I heard that, I thought, ooh, what did I say?
There is precisely zero chance my parents will ever listen to this, so I can say fuck as much as I like in that regard.
Anyway, hi, Mum.
Yeah. Hi, Nick's Mum. You were very cool.
Do you want to sponsor our podcast?
Nick's Mum. Sorry about Dr. Roy, everybody. He's not really me. He's just a fraction of my personality. Probably I'm just expanded out to dangerous levels.
I think it's more like you're a fraction of his personality, to be honest.
Yeah, he's probably taking over. He's taking over.
Well, anyway, for those who are listening and who make it all the way to the Stinger, if this isn't the Stinger, please reach out to us. We'd like to hear who you are. I am curious to know who listens. So just drop us an email or a tweet.
Tell us what you think about the idea of taking Vegemite and combining it with Twiglets to make a...
Twiggo.
You don't have to do that.
Pending.
Well, we're happy to hear from you without that, but if you do tell us what you think of Twiggos, that'll make us even happier. Mm-hmm.